a beautiful couple picture there of them. I do not yet have a picture of Jamie, but the family is coming in at noon on Saturday. We'll be here in our auditorium. It's like 8 weeks, 8 months old there, but we'll have that available just in case. Hey, we had a really special week. It was good to have Brother Terry lead out last week with his family here. We were blessed to have our family as well. I told somebody I'm still picking up little toy cars and blocks and animals and Legos from all over. Amazing places in our house, windowsills, under couch cushions. The vacuum cleaner almost gave up the ghost once, but we did the Heimlich maneuver and it was all good. So we got to go to Jefferson City, and as I shared with you during the visit to the Baptist building, had an interview with the Missouri Mission Offering, and I hope by this fall that they'll be producing that, and it'll go to our churches. This fall, we take our offering, and that money then is parceled out amongst our Missouri Baptist ministries. So this is falling under the Baptist Home and Healthcare System, very similar to what our Methodist friends have in our world that we're very familiar with. We have 6 or 8 campuses around the state, and I am just personally jazzed that they bought a nursing home up in Smithville, Missouri, and are dedicating that to caring for veterans. And so PTSD is one of those things based on trauma and a lack of safety in our lives. Moral injury is where we have violated our value system, and it's based on shame. So I'm excited that Missouri Baptists are building a repertoire of skills that can help people with different needs. We also worked with the State Emergency Management Agency up there about chaplaincy, and have come a long way with that, with a visit every now and then. I mean, it was like 3 months to 6 months or so. We just journey up there and continue to let that percolate a little bit. We're coming now at the end of the Easter time, moving into what I hope is more of a pastoral care understanding of God's Word. I'm stumbling just a little bit because this is one of those sermon series that you're going to help me with, and you're going to help today. You didn't know that, but we're going to do something a little different at the end of our service. I'm going to share with you a message that is one of two introduction messages, and then here at the Lord's Supper table today, we have some pencils, and we have little white pieces of paper and a basket, and we usually have a little more music up front. We're front-loading me with the hopes that I will step on the brake at the appointed hour, and then Brother Gary's going to come back, and he's going to sing a song called Nail It to the Cross, and he is the one who provided that. We're not going to ask you to go up and hand out hammers today, but symbolically, I'm going to ask you to be thinking while we're talking right now of some of the things that you are carrying in your heart today. What are those ongoing things that you bring to church with you every week? They don't resolve very easily. They're sometimes challenging. You've tried this, you've tried that, but you're still wondering, am I fulfilling the word and the will of the Lord in my life about this particular area? And all I'm going to ask you to do, and Gary, I need to coordinate, is it okay if they walk up here and do this while you're singing? Well, usually when I'm singing and people get up and walk, it's out that back door. So I wanted to make sure that it was good. Rather than try the dispersal method and all, and here's what I hope. I hope 3 or 4 of you will get up and just come down here, and whether you write something down or not, you'll get up and make it easy for somebody else to come down and write on a piece of paper. I don't want your name. I don't do handwriting analysis. I want to be able to read it, okay? So if you're getting like me and you need to print in large capital letters, do what it takes. But I would like you to write down, this is the burden that I'm carrying. This is the grief that I'm sharing. This is the challenge that I'm having, be it at home, in a relationship, be it at work or at school. I want us to begin to take seriously what God's Word says about practical answers for real problems in our lives. And I'm so frustrated that the greatest testimony we have is not how we know Jesus and everything is wonderful. That is shallow. The greatest testimony we have is, I have a real problem. I have a real struggle. I am carrying a rucksack full of stuff that started long, long ago that I've never been able to resolve. But I'm turning to God's Word, and I'm finding grace, and I'm finding strength, and I'm finding help in God's Word and God's people, and it's making a difference in my life. Ladies and gentlemen, if we would go out of this building into our daily lives and say that kind of testimony, we would see the world change. Because quite honestly, people don't relate to folks who don't have problems. And we're a lot more relatable than we think we are many times. So, you be thinking of what you might come down and write in a few moments as we get ready for this song. So, no name, legible, a burden or ongoing concern in your life that you would like prayer for, because of when they're anonymous, we're going to pray about the issue. And then you would be interested in knowing and doing God's will. What does God's Word say about that? Now, the hook in this is this. If you're brave enough and you come down and you say, help me with this financial issue, and God's Word speaks to that, and someday you hear what God's Word says about that, it's no longer okay to go, yeah, but I don't want to do that. Have you ever noticed we'll take anybody's advice or answer except what God says? I don't know why that is, but it's real. So that leads us, we're going to be in the book of Psalms today. We're going to read Psalm 55 together. So, Zach, I'm going to work you up there because I'm going to do a few verses and stop and talk a little bit, and you'll have to jump back and forth. Psalm 55, here's where I thought I was such a brilliant Bible scholar. We are going to talk next week about 1 Peter 5:7, which says, I learned it in Bible school, I made a macaroni noodle plaque out of 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your cares upon Him, because He careth for you. Yeah. And I said, wow, you know, that verse sounds a lot like Psalm 55, verse 22. It says, cast your burden on the Lord, and He will sustain you. And then, being the brilliant Bible scholar that I am, I'm studying 1 Peter, and the guy says, well, 1 Peter, at synagogue school, must have made a macaroni plaque out of Psalm 55. Because all of the Bible scholars say that the reason those two verses are connected is that Peter in his own life was referencing what David the psalmist had written thousands of years before. And ladies and gentlemen, it's been good advice. It's been a promise of God's people to hang on to. That we can take whatever burden we have, we can cast it upon the Lord, and He will sustain us. You know, if it's been good enough for how many hundred generations ahead of us, don't you think it might be okay for us to maybe flesh that out a little and make real in our own lives? So let's talk about it as we begin. So the verse 1, let's go back to the top. The footnote on this is Psalm 55, the book of Psalms, is humanity's hymn book. And these are probably the words of a great music festival, musical, that they had long ago. So David, annotating this and storing it, says, this is for the choir director with stringed instruments. Who played harp as a little guy? David. A masculine of David. In other words, it's this long thing. And actually, as you read it down, there's this little word at the end of verse 7, Selah, S-E-L-A-H. What it means is, y'all quit singing and let the instruments play. It's that musical interlude. So what we're reading are the lyrics of a musical that meant a lot to a former generation, so much that it was categorized and cataloged and put into humanity's hymn book written by the warrior poet David. Verses 1 to 3, God is the subject. David is reaching out to the Lord, and he's being very, very honest with where he is. He says, God, listen to my prayer, and do not hide from my plea for help. Have you ever thought you had a prayer request so bad that God was trying to avoid you? David felt that way. That it was so overwhelming, or it was so bad, or what he was dealing with was so messed up, he didn't think God wanted to listen. And so he's begging God, would you pay attention to me? Well, there it is, verse 2. Pay attention to me and answer me. Because of the enemy's words, because of the pressure of the wicked. For they bring down disaster on me and harass me in anger. For some of you, that describes your boss. For others of you, it describes Christmas get-togethers. I need God to pay attention because people are bringing down trouble, harassment, pain, emotional pain in my life. And so I'm going to tell you the end up front. We choose a basic way that we relate to problems in our lives. And today's message is brought to you by the letter F. They're going to alliterate with the word F. But that is because David did such a good job of describing these emotions and these things. So here David is very honest. He's saying, Lord, I'm struggling with this. I want you to know my true heart. And I'm going to be very blunt with you. David says some very harsh things that you would not think are in the Bible. But David did say those things. He's being raw with the Lord. And he does believe that God can handle the struggles that he's facing. So what are some of those ways that we deal with our problems? The first one is fear. If you look at verse 4, my heart shudders within me. The terrors of death sweep over me. Fear and trembling grip me. Horror has overwhelmed me. I talked not long ago of a man who had just gotten word from the doctor that he's up against a very serious medical condition. And he said to me, I'm sorry to bother you on a Sunday evening. I know it's not church time. I said, you're no bother. What's going on in your world? And he says, I'm afraid to go to sleep at night because I don't know if I'll wake up in the morning. I look at that and I go, gee, I kind of felt that way when I was a little kid. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my, if I should, before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. And here's a grown man nearing the end of his life, and he says, I don't know who to talk to about this because I'm afraid. I just don't know if I'm going to wake up. I can assure you that there are many people in a hospital bed at 2 in the morning who are afraid to let go and go to sleep because they're not sure that God is big enough to take care of them if they should draw their last breath. It is a scary thing when we view the world around us as something to be afraid of. And there are things that can happen that cause challenges or that we didn't expect and certainly make us think twice. But David is saying that his initial reaction to the big burdens of his life is to be afraid of them. It was Linus, the great philosopher in Peanuts cartoon fame, who said, "There is no problem so big you can't run away from it." Which is kind of mixing a couple points here. But ladies and gentlemen, it is no accident that the main message of the Bible is fear not. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? You are with me. And I think one of the reasons maybe that we're afraid or we approach our challenges in life from a position of fear is that we think we're all alone. It is the presence of God walking with us in those very struggles that moves us out of a position of fear into a position of faith. So, point number one, when you're thinking of what you might write on your paper, what are you afraid of today? I don't think anyone would write down a fear that is legitimately in your heart that the rest of us have not expressed that fear or wondered that ourselves. But let's not make that the way we respond. Let's not live our lives like David. Fear and trembling have gripped me. Horror has overwhelmed me. No, 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 no. Let's take those fears. Let's name them. Let's put them in a basket where we can all pray about them and see what God's word says about it. Point number two is the word flight. Verses 6-8. I said, "If only I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and rest. How far away I would flee, I would stay in the wilderness. I would hurry to my shelter from the raging wind and the storm." Verses 6 to 8. Did you ever wish that right out of your shoulder blades, right about right here, you could sprout some wings and just take off? Of course, United Airlines kind of made $1 million doing stuff like that, right? Let's get away. But a lot of us escape from reality. We try to run away from things so that we don't have to face them. Basically, we say, if only I could get away from all of this, I could be free of all of these feelings. But let me tell you about the burdens that we carry. They're not things that stay there that we can walk away from. Usually, the burdens that we carry are right in here. And wherever you go, it goes with you. I don't care what you look like when the TSA scuba thing works around you. God has that heartometer that knows what burdens you've packed on your vacation that you're still taking with you. It's a dangerous thing to try to push losses or griefs or burdens under the carpet because we pretend nobody will see it there. But sooner and later, it can grow into a monster within us and it can destroy our future happiness, as well as all of the memories of the past. It is a sad and scary thing to talk to people who want to bring their lives together, and they're not free to come together as a new couple because they're bringing the baggage that's unresolved from the past. Ladies and gentlemen, you can run fast, and you can run far, but you cannot run away from the unfinished spiritual business of your life. And even when I talk to couples that have said, "We're done, we don't want any more of this," I go, "Well, you're not done until you've reconciled the pain that brought you to this place." Point number three, fury. Beginning in verse 9, it says, "Lord, confuse and confound their speech, for I see violence and strife in the city. Day and night they make the rounds on its walls. Crime and trouble are within it. Destruction is inside it. Oppression and deceit never leave its marketplace." So hang on just a second here. David is mad at all the other people who are hassling him. And he's so mad, it's like he's saying, God, I want you to rain down judgment on the city. I'm the good guy, me in the palace, but all those other people. There's a whole category of psalms called, big word. Showing off my wisdom here. Deprecatory, I think that's right. It's where they call down judgment. I had a JAG friend in the Army. He said, well, now I will read the Bible. If you can call down judgment on other people using Scripture, it's got to be pretty cool. I said, well, I'd take caution with that if I were you, but that was a long story. David now lets us into one of the most difficult areas of his entire life. Beginning in verse 12, hear his words. This is what he would have written on today's little card coming up. It's not an enemy who insults me, otherwise I could bear it. It's not a foe who rises up against me, otherwise I could hide from him. But it is you, a man who is my peer, my companion, and my good friend. We used to have close fellowship when we walked with the crowd into the house of the Lord. This is like as they prepared for Passover, they would journey to Jerusalem. Well, David, as the political leader, he would get out and he would walk with his cabinet and all of his kingly officials. So here's one of the men who has now turned against him and betrayed him and is disloyal to him. You are the pain in my life. You used to be my best friend. And now I can't even talk to you about those things that are important. I miss the fellowship that we used to have. And here's where it gets blunt. He says, let me find it there, 15. You're my best friend. Let death take him by surprise. I hope he's in a car accident. I hope the chariot just runs him over. Oh, and even more than that, you want to know how I really feel? Let him go down to hell alive. May the earth just open up and drop him to the very depths of God's wrath and judgment. Doesn't that sound like friendship to you? Have you ever trusted somebody so much and then they betrayed you? And your greatest wish, the nicest thing you could think of for them would be to go to hell. That's in the Bible. So I would say to you that fear is not a good way to approach our problems. Fury or anger is not a good way to approach and resolve our problems. Flight, running away from it, is not a good way to approach and solve our problems. Well, you know how it is in a sermon. There's 3 points, and now we're coming into the last one. Could we offer faith as a better alternative? Beginning in verse 16, but I call to God, and the Lord will save me. I complain and groan morning, noon, and night, but he hears my voice. No matter how ticked I am at my friend, God still knows my heart, and he puts up with me. Though many are against me, he will redeem me from my battle unharmed. God, the one enthroned from long ago, will hear, and he will humiliate them. Now hold that thought. Time out for the music to play there again. Verse 20, my friend may act violently against those at peace with him. He violates his covenant. His words are smooth, but war is in his heart. His words are softer than oil, but they are drawn swords. But God knows that. God is judging my heart. God will judge his. I'm not responsible for his heart. He may have evil against me, but God wants me to be pure. God wants me to solve these problems in faith. And then, and now, we come to this theme verse of our series. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. God, you will bring them down I'm sorry, he will never allow the righteous to be shaken. And then there's this summary verse at the end. Here's this problem, but here's where I stand. God, you will bring them down to the pit of destruction. It's not for me to decide who gets punished by you. You'll decide that, Lord. Men of bloodshed and treachery will not live out half their days. That's often true, isn't it? Some of the wildest, meanest characters you've ever found are the ones that check out of this life early. It's like God has said, you have had your chance and we are done. But David ends on this note. I have cast my burden on the Lord. He will sustain me. David says, no matter what else is going on, but I will trust in you. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what everybody is facing today, but I would say to you that this is not pie in the sky. This is not pious words. If this book of wisdom and God's word and ways does not have the ability to solve the problems of our lives, then none of us need it. But we say as a church that it does, and if we will apply it to our lives, it will. And it is a foolish thing for those of us who know the Lord and have an eternal hope and an eternal confidence, it's foolish for us to walk around in fear. It's foolish of us to wish we could be somewhere else, like there's some Oz land where there are no problems. Have you noticed on any utopian movie, including The Wizard of Oz, there's all kinds of problems in those places. We're not going to get away from that. We've got to deal with it. It is not appropriate for the people of God to walk around angry all the time, saying that I'm righteous and you're not, and God's going to bless me, but boy, he's going to do it at your expense. That is not at all the theme of the Word of God. The theme of the Word of God is come. Cast your burden upon the Lord. Come, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sin be as scarlet, we're going to make that white as snow. It isn't that God isn't big enough to handle our problems, it's that we think he's not. And I think of the story of Jacob wrestling with the angel. Jacob is at this horrible time in his life. He has shafted his older brother, and he's coming back, and he knows they're not going to not talk about that. And so he's up all night, and he can't sleep, and he's wrestling with God. And he says, who are you? And the angel of the Lord says, don't worry about that. I know who you are, you little slimy cheat. You little traitor, you little two-faced. God's got our number, ladies and gentlemen. And I just imagine, can you imagine Jacob and the angel kind of getting ready to go at it? And Jacob's like, I'm so messed up, you can't handle me. And I just look at that angel going, bring it on. Bring it on. And ladies and gentlemen, whatever you have to write on that piece of paper, I'm asking you to do it. Because I think God is looking at us going, come on. Come on. You think you're too tough? Huh. I make the mountains fall down. I can handle Goliath. You think you've messed up in your world so bad? It was the broken prostitute who broke the perfume over Jesus' feet and with true repentance and tears honored him in a way that no other person on the planet did. She was not a beautiful person. Come on. Got money problems? Who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills? I remember my friend on his way to pay a seminary bill one day. He had no way to know. He said, God, you're going to have to sell one of those cows. I got to pay a bill. And he got up there, and it came time to write the check. And he found out that a man from his home church had already called the registrar's office and gave him a scholarship for that semester. God can sell all the cows he wants to. because he owns the cattle on a thousand hills. You got relationship issues that are messed up? I'm just saying, ladies and gentlemen, he's the healer from the inside out. And a lot of times the way God fixes our relationships is he fixes us. Okay? Come on. Come on. See, I'm not threatening at all. I know that. I know that. What burden did you bring to church today? When it's just you alone at 2 a.m., what do you and God talk about? If you had a wish in your heart that could make your world better, what would that be? I'm going to ask you while Gary comes to sing, would you step out from where you are and just come grab, fill the front, sit on the step, do whatever, write in your hand, I'll loan you my Bible as a portable tablet. But just put, it might be a one-word thing, we don't want a lot of detail, no name, legible. What is the issue that we could pray about and that as God showed you what to do about it, you would be obedient in? Because together we want to cast our burden upon the Lord, knowing, confident, excited that he will sustain us. Gear?